We appreciate the Cole family and all the work they're doing there in Glenwood, and how God's helping them and blessing them. And I'd like to go to prayer before we start service. It's youth night tonight, so we'd like our young men to wander up and find a place on the platform. And we've been having Brother Cole's one Sunday night every month. We give the youth an opportunity to really work and to labor in the service. And God's really been blessing us. He's really been helping us. But we'd like to go to prayer for Sister Elsie. They're going to take her in to check her out. She is having high blood pressure downstairs. But maybe God touched her. It seemed to drop almost 50 points in just 5 minutes. But maybe we could just stand and let's just say a prayer that God would touch Sister Elsie. Lord, we thank you. God, we want to bring Sister Elsie up before your throne here tonight. God, we pray, Lord, that you would touch her body, God, even right now, Lord. We feel you are doing a work in her life, God, and we're asking you for your mercy, for your covering, for your grace, God. Lord, heal her. Touch her tonight, God. Go with her, Lord. Direct those that are working on her, Lord. Give her strength and encourage her family, God. And then, God, help us tonight, Lord. Give us what we need in this service, God. Encourage us through your young people tonight, God. Guide us, lead us, and direct us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, are you glad y'all are here? All right, all right. Glory to God.
shadows of the mountain I see climbing up ahead. Lord, I'm gonna need you again. Mountain, it looks high, too hard for me to climb. Changes are ahead, lead me on. Never gives a mountain that he knows. that he knows we cannot climb. As I look around, I see mountains laid behind, mountains that looked impossible to climb. Yet they
for the beautiful weather outside yesterday. It was an absolutely gorgeous day. I'm thankful for some more beautiful weather today. Sure beats 100 degree temperature, I'll tell you that much. Well, I'm sure I'm thankful to see the Coles here, and Aaron ain't seen him in a while, and I remember the first time he got his hair cut, I almost didn't recognize him. He walked in, like, he said, "Hey, how's it going, Zach?" I'm like, "Who are you?" I know I talk a lot, I mean, a lot of people know my name, but who are you? I don't know who you are. Oh, man, I'm like, now I feel like an idiot, because I didn't know who he was until he told me who he was. So it's always good to see him here. It's been a while. He got back from the National Guard, and I wasn't going for a hand clap, but that worked out. I gotta go to the lapel mic again. I was already.
Well, you like to run.
Oh, I don't run that much. It's on. Yeah. Oh, I thought they were talking to me. I always hate it when it happens. Somebody starts waving or talking. You know, you start waving and talking back, and you realize, hey, they ain't talking to me. Well, I was sitting out here Wednesday night. I was waiting for Dad. He was kind of jaw-jacking a little bit. I got to looking out that window out there. You know, when it's dark outside, you can see your reflection in that door. Boy, I wish I was in on the joke. am I the joke? Let's straighten this out. Anyway, I was looking out that window Wednesday night. I was thinking, man, my hair's all messed up. You know, you're kind of looking over yourself, and you start focusing your eyes out something. You see people out the door if you focus real close. And it got me to thinking of focusing your vision where you need to be. You know, a lot of times you can focus yourself to, and look at your eyes. I mean, I work for an eye doctor. That's why you wear glasses. Because if your eyes too short, too long, those glasses reflect the light and bend onto your retina so you can get that best vision. You know, when you're near sighted, it's when it reflects too close to the retina, and when you're far sighted, it reflects past the retina. Something to know there. So that's why you wear glasses, it reflects it right on top of the retina. Not too close, not too far, but just right. And it got me thinking, I was sitting there looking at myself, and I mean, blah, blah, blah. And I saw Aunt Nett walk out there, and I was like, wait a minute. And it got me thinking, where you focus your vision at? And when you focus on yourself, you focus on something more than yourself. And it got me thinking, I mean, Jesus could have focused everything on himself. Job could have focused everything on himself. You know, he looked a little bit further. Esther, she was going through persecution. I mean, she could have stayed hidden. I mean, we're talking about, but Jeff talking about the day in Bible study. He came out, or she came, he changed her name. What was it, Hadassah? Hadassah before she changed her name to Esther because she wanted to hide her heritage. You know what? She could have stayed hidden, but she looked beyond herself and looked past that. And you know what? For the better good. And I looked at some verses today just on a little bit on focusing. I could be a little bit prepared. And for some focusing, one of the things that's been really working in my mind a lot lately, I think it's over in Romans 8. Let's see. I think that starts in the first verse. The Spirit of Life is the way it's titled in my Bible. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who will not walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may not be filled in us, but who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they are after the flesh, do not after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm not very good at reading the Bible. To me, thou's and those and stuff like that. But I mean, it got me to thinking about it. I mean, looking past yourself for something better. You know, being selfless is being part of being a body. We're all supposed to work together in one big unit. You know, sometimes that thumb doesn't want to be working in the running situation. You know, that thumb's there for a reason. It may not be working right now, but it's there for a reason. That's what we got to be. I'm not really sure where I'm going with this. God, I just want to say I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I was really thankful for that song Strang sang.
I was waiting for him to go to Revelation and go on from that point on, but you didn't stop right there, brother. That was good, but I was thinking what he was relaying right there in Romans, and also the wonderful message we got today from Brother Smith, talking about, going over, if you will, our flesh. You know, it's the body message in relation to understanding about the carnal mind and knowing who our enemy really is. And having that understanding gives us security, because this understanding of I can't pass the buck onto that guy in that suit that Brother Smith was relating to today with that pitchfork. You know, I have to look inward, and I have to realize, you know what? I can't pass it off on anyone else. I have to look in that mirror, that perfect law of liberty, and say, it's me, Lord. It's me. I'm the one. I'm the one who's guilty. I'm the one who let my thoughts go there. I'm the one who let my focus divert from what it needs to be on. And I appreciated where Zach was going, because I had just been reading. I mean, literally, my mind's been going down a track, and I was in Romans 8 also. I was hoping he would get on further down, but I'll go ahead and continue from that point as far as what I was thinking about in relation to what Brother Smith was talking today. And I always loved reading that when I was younger, because I couldn't really get exactly what Paul was saying. I mean, it really sounded like Popeye to me. Because, you know, he's like, I am that I am that I would be, that I am that I don't, and I do. You know what I'm talking about. When he's talking about what he wants to do, what he really wants to do in his heart, he finds himself doing the opposite. I mean, that's the plain English version of it. But the way Paul puts it in there, just you're thinking, what did he just say? I know it's right, but I have no idea. But maybe I'll listen and figure it out later. But it's in Romans 8, 6, going on down, for to be carnally minded is death. You know, going back to what Brother Zach was talking about in relation to focus, this world's got so many diversions out there. There's so many things. And yes, I'll say this over the pulpit to those of you. Yes, I know I said I wasn't on Facebook the other day, and now I'm on Facebook. Yes, okay, so ha-ha, I'm there now. But the thing is, there's diversions out there, right? There's things that on a daily basis can get us off of our focus. It can take us away from where our eyes need to be, where our vision is. And that's what I've been thinking about lately. There's a song that it's a contemporary gospel song, Christian song. It talks about going through the motions. You know, I don't want to be going through the motions. I don't want to be thinking about, you know, well, I've done this and I've done that. Okay, I'm serving the Lord. I'm walking for Him. Am I really? You know, what Brother Smith said a while back really caught my attention when he was talking about compromising. When he was talking about, you know, are you walking just? You know, he was talking to the congregation as a whole, but you know, I hope he was talking to every one of our hearts. I wanted to hear what God was saying, and what God was saying to me, Brother Paul, was, are you just? Are you walking in the light that you've been given? Are you doing the things? It's not just about the do's and the don'ts, but, Sister Jody, is it in my heart? Am I letting it plant it deep in my heart? Am I letting God have His perfect work in me? Am I letting Him change who I am, or am I going through the motions? Am I coming to church with a false sense of security that, hey, I'm all right. I'm okay, you're okay, right? No. God forbid that I ever get that attitude. I want to daily be able to look at myself and say, God, purify me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. To renew each day. You know, it's not, I went to church Sunday, Sister Tally, and I made it for the first service. I was at Bible study and I was second. Man, I'm good for a week at least, right? I mean, I did my time, right, Brother Durham? I'm okay. No, it's that daily walk. It's that renewing of my mind each and every day. And going on down into Romans where he talks about, for to be carnally minded is death. You know, to be carnally minded. And I appreciated, this is a while back, but I appreciated some things Brother Pryor had said, because I'd struggled with some of that. You know, when you get in your day-to-day life, your day-to-day work, you know, me in the trash business. I mean, my mind goes pretty low pretty quick, Sister Coles. You know, I'm in the trash business. It's what I do. You know, you can't get any, well, okay, you can't get lower, and I'm not going to go there. But I'm just saying, you know, doing the day-to-day grind, getting into your work, doing the things that you do, just the routine, the checking the emails, the phone calls, I'm not at all times, you know, I'm not singing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, you know, as I'm taking these calls or talking to customers. Maybe I should be. I don't know. I'm just saying, though, Brother Pryor was relating how as we're living our life, as we're doing these things, it's not that we're sinning. We're taking care of the things that God has given us to take care of. Okay, so I was going on that to say, though, there's some things, though, that, you know, I can easily get distracted by. I don't want to, though, go off into that. I don't want to then From that point, though, that's that fine line, I think. We can get off into that, I'm taking care of these things, but then there's that little detour that can easily take me, that can easily change my vision, that can easily smear. I mean, who wears glasses or contacts? I see just looking out of here, I can't tell if you have contacts on, okay? But I can tell if you have glasses on, and there's quite a few. Have any of you ever got a scratch on your lens? Have any of you ever got smears on it? It drives you crazy. I mean, you know, when you get a scratch right here, it's over. I've got to go get a new pair because it will, you know, you can't focus. You can't focus. And that's what day to day, if I'm not careful in my life, if I'm not guarding for those things, if I'm not looking out for those distractions, they mar my focus. And some things, it may just be a little smudge, and I can get that cleaned off pretty easily. But if I'm not careful, and I don't guard my heart, and I don't keep my focus on God like I should, I can get some deep scratches. And it takes the great physician. It takes Jesus Christ to come in and then clear that scratch away, because He's the only one that has that power. But going on down, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, I don't know about y'all, but can anyone here tell me that in this world that there's peace? That there's real peace? No, I would hope that everyone's answer would be no. There's no peace in this world. There's not real peace in this world. There's not real joy. There's a form of happiness, but what's that happiness based in? It's in the now. It's, oh, I feel good now. But 5 minutes later, after that happiness is gone or expended or whatever it was on, I'm looking for something else now, aren't I? So it's not a real complete peace or joy. But in Christ, in knowing that I'm serving Him and that I'm living my life for something greater. This world doesn't hold anything for me, and I don't want to serve Him. You know, Brother Smith was relating today about, you know, some serving God, especially in religion, to escape hell. And they were like, well, if I believe like you, I wouldn't even go to church. Well, you know what? I don't want to serve Him also just to think about I'm going to heaven. You know, I want to understand that it's part of it, but I want that genuine, intimate relationship with Christ. I want to build my heart in Him. I want to be like my Father. You know, it does, I can speak for myself in this. Having a son now, and when there's certain things, when he does or he gets it, you know, there's just that joy that you get down inside, like, you know, he gets it. He's, you know, and whenever someone says, on a positive note, you're like your father, not you're like your father. Not that one, okay? I'm talking about, you know, hey, you know, you're a lot like your father in that, and it's a positive, I've planted something there. Well, God is planting in me, and I want to be that reflection of Him one day where they can look at me and not see Philip Fisher, but see the Christ that's within me and say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's my goal. That's our goal in this church. Going on down into in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, it is the enemy of God. It is it's the opposite. It's the yin to the yang. It's not the same. The carnal mind, and what does it say here? It says, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You know, I know in my own flesh before, I've tried to conquer the carnal mind in relation to within my own power. But I need to remember that I need to mortify, I need to kill those deeds altogether in my faith and as much as I can within God. Realizing that I can't with my own hands put down that old man, I can't within my own power, but it's through Christ. It's through me submitting my life. It's through me coming to church. It's through me listening to the ministry. It's through me hearing what but Brother Smith and what my brothers and sisters have to say and learning from that. That's how I can put that old man down. That's how I can put my foot on the head of that serpent and say, no, you stay there, boy. You stay there. You're not getting to me today. And so I was thinking about these things, and also I wanted to go over into James. You know, I was looking at this. I want to tie this together here about in James 3:13, I'm going to read a little bit of this here, getting down to 4, but says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, out of a good life, his works with meekness of wisdom. For if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Okay, here's going into more of the carnal mind to get more of an idea. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." You know, I want to be careful. In my daily walk, I want to show out of a good conversation, out of my life, out of the works of my life. You know, James, another place here, you know, says, "You show me my faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works." You know, it's once again, it's not that the works, it's not that, well, I prayed today, I went to church today, and I read my Bible, I'm holy. It's not that. It's that when I'm seeking that intimate relationship, when I'm seeking to ever keep my lenses clear, when I'm seeking my vision to keep it focused on God, that God is helping me and that I'm building that relationship because I'm ever seeking to have that. I'm wanting more of that in my life. And that's what's important, is to get that relationship built so that God will help me. God will help me to not let those things cloud my vision. This wisdom, okay, "But for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle." I'm going to stop right there, because I'm relating this to another thought that I'm going to get to, but I know, and I'll put myself, and y'all help me, all right? I still don't think I'm middle-aged, because I don't plan on dying at, like, you know, right around 70, 71. My bad. I'd like to live a little bit longer than that. Maybe when I get 50, then I'll say I'm middle-aged, going for 100. I don't know. You know, Lord willing, and if Jesus comes, I'm good with going before then. But I'm saying, that's how I look at it, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just saying. So what I'm saying by that is, I'm not youth. I'm not a young person. I'm a father. I'm raising youth now. And that takes the youth right out of you. And I understand that now. Believe me, I get that. I called my mom and dad the other day and said to them, "You know what? I'm sorry." And they were like, "For what?" I said, "I'm just sorry you guys had to raise me. I mean, man, I thought y'all had a book or something, because if not, I mean, if y'all do have it, y'all need to share, because what's up? Y'all been holding back on from me." Great. Well, I'm not in a hurry for that book, okay? What I'm saying there is that I'm not a youth, but I still, I can only speak from my perspective on this, get those feelings about when I feel to get up. When I feel to say something, "Oh, that's not of God. No, you just want to get up." Which I know is against my nature, because I just explained to a couple of saints today how I'm actually an introverted person. And I'm serious on that, okay? No, if for some of you are like, whatever. No, I really am. I'm an introvert. I just hide it well. I'm in the closet and an introvert, okay? That's just, I'm an introvert. But I've had to change that. I've had to work to not be an introvert because of my job and so many things that I've been a part of. What I'm saying in that is, once again, I will hide. Okay, it says, you know, look at these feelings here. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated. All right? I'm letting that serpent nature rob me of my blessing when I'm not submitting to if the Lord is trying to use me. If God is trying to just tap me ever so gently on the shoulder and say, "Hey, let me use you right now. I may not be the prettiest vessel. I may not be the nicest one to be used. But if God wants to use me right then, I need to be a willing vessel in the hands of the Lord. I need to say, God, I don't know what I have. I may not have a single thing until I step right here." And then God said, "Oh, good. Hey, you got out of your seat. Now I'm going to fill you up. Now let something go forth that maybe you can help my people. And maybe, if you're lucky, you'll help yourself." So I was just thinking about that. I want to be a willing vessel. I want to be easy to be entreated. Because what's that? That's the wisdom that's from above is easy to be entreated. When I'm back there arguing and fighting with that snake, that's some strife going on, isn't it? Now, what did it say right up back up here? "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." I need to be
easily entreated. Full of mercy. You know, I really have been thinking about that one. And growing up, just my nature being more of a melancholy, boy, I tell you what, we're bad critics. We are the worst. I can tear you apart, but you know what? I'm great at tearing me apart. I mean, I can dissect me down to where that's why I won't get up. I won't say a word because it's like, you know, they don't want to hear dirt talk. I mean, you know, you don't have anything to say. You know, you've done blah, 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 blah. You're not worth a penny. Don't even think about it. I can tear down the best because of my nature if I submit to that. But that's what I have to work daily to not. But what I was thinking about on that is mercy. You know who ends up giving mercy? It's those that have been shown mercy to. And if I'm honest with myself, the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior and realized what He did for me, what He did for each one of us when He died on that cross, and how much mercy He bestowed that day in giving me an opportunity to have a relationship with the Father, I should then show mercy in return. I should be able to look the other way, turn the other cheek, and say, God forbid that I don't give mercy because I've been given mercy. But I was thinking about, with age, I've seen two different things happen. Either circumstances that people go through, they either make you unmerciful because you get critical in your heart and you get damaged inside and hold things in, or you look at things and realize, you know what? I now understand I've not walked in everyone's shoes. And that this person may have offended me, but you know what? I haven't been there. I haven't done that before. I've never went that road before. So God forbid that I not show mercy to them, because I may be worse if I go through that. I may have crumbled when they didn't crumble in that situation. So God, help me to be more merciful. And that's something I've been learning in my life as I have been living life, that unfair life that we're a part of. I've been going through things that, you know, as compared to other people, I don't know, I may still rate real low in my trials and tests. There's plenty of things that I would not even want to go down that road. But for my personal walk, I wanted to let it have its perfect work in me and be a more merciful person. It says, but of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Then he goes into, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence of your own lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You know, right here, once again, what am I doing all through this? Some of this, I'm falling into that rut that Paul was talking about of, you know, I don't want to have those things warring in my members, but I'm finding myself back in that same old deal as normal. I'm fighting against myself, you know. I'm unhappy. I'm not at peace in myself. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Why? That I might consume it on my own lust. That's something I've been trying to look at my own personal life as, God, what am I praying for? Where is my focus? What am I looking at? What am I praying for things that if I really knew the truth, that God wasn't giving to me for a reason? Do I give my children every single thing they ask for? No. Why? I'm going to spoil them if I do. And some of the things they ask for, they're not wise. They don't understand what it will do to them if I do give it to them. Do I not think God's wiser than I am? I need to be more careful about what I'm asking for and realize if I am asking for it, if He's not giving it, maybe my prayer has been answered. Maybe I need to say, God, thank you. Thank you for not letting something else cloud my focus. Thank you for not letting me go off another direction and you're keeping your hand, you're holding my hand saying, no, son, no, you don't need that toy. You need to come with me. You need to come with me. We'll go this way, and I'll give you something much better at a later time. And I need to say, yes, Father. Yes, Father. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, and that one hit me pretty hard. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against, is the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do I need to get any plainer than that? Does he need to get any plainer than that? Take it this way, church. Right now, I'm not preaching at you, okay? I'm looking at, this has been on my mind, is thinking about, God, how many times have I made excuses to be somewhere, to talk to someone, to do something, to get something? Oh, well, it's not really a big deal. Oh, well, that's not, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not going to harm me. It's not going to affect me. I'm lying. I'm lying to myself. The friendship of the world is to be the enemy of God. I want to look, because Brother Paul, I want to be just. I can't walk on water. I can't do those many miracles, but I can only live in the light that God has given me today. But my problem is, am I? Am I? If I'm not, then am I turning my back on God? Am I not appreciating the jewels and the gold that He's put in my hand? Am I not realizing what God has called us to in the body of Christ? Am I not realizing how blessed that I am to be in this house today? God forbid! We have a chance, church! We have been blessed beyond all measure in this area. We're a chosen group of people. A chosen group of people. And that, now that's the dark side of things, okay? I'm not going to stay on the dark side of things. Turn with me over to Jeremiah. And I'm going to use this right here. You know, I've read that scripture. You know, all scripture is given for the... someone help me with that. All the scripture is given for inspiration to where... Brother Smith can definitely correct this later, because I understand that we don't all have this calling, but I want to use this today, if you'll let me here. Jeremiah 1 and 5. God's talking to Jeremiah here, and He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." I want you to think about this, but put yourself in this place. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." God sanctified you. "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, this is to Jeremiah here, but tell me how this doesn't apply to us, having the calling that we do in the body of Christ. Part of the restoration, trying to be a part of the building up of His kingdom in this latter day. He has called us to a greater work than Jeremiah had. Are we the church today? If we are, then we have a great calling today. This is our calling. God is saying, "I sanctified you. When you were in the world, I knew you. When you were a sinner, I died for you. I bought you with my blood." "Then said I," oh, Lord God, here, this is me right here. "Behold, I can't speak. I'm a child. I'm a child in my knowledge, God. I'm a child in my understanding. I make so many mistakes, God. I can't be effective. I can't help anybody." What's God say? "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth, let me ask you, has the Lord put forth His hand and touched your mouth? Have you been blessed with the Holy Ghost in your life? Have you received the very Spirit of the living God in you today? Then your lips have been touched by Him. You have been given the earnest of your inheritance. "Touch my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." We are called today to build the body of Christ. We have been called. What does it say? Is it Hebrews? We are a peculiar people. We are among, what is it, heavenly, what is it, how is that in Hebrews? I don't want to butcher that right there. Is that Hebrews? Yes. Where is it? In Hebrews 12:22, thank you, Brother Pryor, it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." I'm with my fellow brothers and sisters. Angels, there's angels, there's ministering spirits on this platform, there's ministering spirits in the congregation. We are a light in this world, as Brother Paul has told us many times. When he's out there, he doesn't have to be in a street corner preaching. He doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't have to have a little stand, right? When you're at customers, when you're dropping a load off, you don't get on a little, do you get a pallet? I mean, if you do, that's cool too. But I mean, I mean, that'd be pretty neat. So you need to tell if you do that. But he doesn't get a box and say, "Hey, I'm different. Hey, woo-hoo. I'm different over here, guys. I'm a Christian." You know, he doesn't do that. But it's by his walk. It's by his talk. It's his conversation in his life. I'm not just trying to lift up Brother Paul over here, but I'm saying that's what we're called today for. If we can't be a light in this world, who is a light in this world? We are his chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. Don't talk yourself down. We are God's children today. We're Jerusalem. We're Israel. To the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And that's my call today. I want to be just. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't just want to go to church to go to church. I want to serve God with my whole heart. I want to lift up my hands and be glad in Him. I want to say, "God, thank you for having mercy on me, for seeing me in the gutter and saying, 'Son, there's a better way. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Praise God, that's what we are today. And I just want to say how appreciative I am of being here in this church.
Well, we've started in a race and we've just got to finish. We can't afford to take a break right now. For it's He that endureth till the end that shall be saved. We just got to make it in somehow. We must pass up all the exits, leave the detours behind. This highway of holiness is right. Somehow
I'm sorry that that kind of inspired me just a little bit. If you know my personality, you know that's not normally what I do. You know I wouldn't run around the church. It's not my thing. But I was just thinking, you know, we've been talking about this a lot today and here recently, but in my mind, I've been going over, you know, the laws and the duties and how you can't be saved by the law. But we do need laws in our life. We do need things. We do need godly principles in our life. But we know that doesn't save us, but that we have to have it. And Brother Smith said a while back, I think it might have been the last youth service, I'm not sure, but he said, he was talking to us and said, if you're still in the duty phase, then you're not where you're supposed to be. And I was thinking today, I was thinking, well, I have a duty to Christ. I have a duty to live this life, but it's not a duty to me. It's not like it's hard work. I mean, there is work to be done, but it's not like, oh, I got to go to church today. It's not like that. And I was thinking, just as that song was going on, as it progressed, I've started in this race and I have just got to finish. I was thinking about that. I started in this race a long time ago. For me, it was a long time ago, but it was birth. I was born here. I was dedicated right here in this sanctuary. That's where I started my race. I didn't know it back then. I was a child. I didn't think about all those things. But now I've been given this opportunity and I've realized that I've just got to finish. I can't take a break right now. And I was thinking about how this past year through college, there were things that there were detours, there were exits that were saying, here, come this way or go this way. And I was thinking back over Sister Oates' testimony, how it really did touch me about how, you know, if you're not sure which way to go, go straight and turn right. Is that what you said? You know, we need to follow the Lord. Don't get distracted by this world. Keep your focus on the Lord. We have a lot of the youth, we have summer vacation right now. Some of us work and we don't really get a vacation. Sister Rachel works quite a bit. She doesn't get much of a vacation. But I was thinking how, you know, this summertime, what do we do with our time? We fill it with video games and we go out and we hang out with friends and we sleep until 3 in the afternoon and then watch SpongeBob and eat cereal. You know, now me, I can't do that. I have to go to work. Now, there was one morning I was off and I went home and Brooklyn came and woke me up and we sat there and we watched cartoons at like 9 in the morning and ate some cereal. It's the first time I had done that this summer. It was about a week ago. I thought, what have I been missing? That's great. You know, but I can't at the same time. That was a nice little break from the daily routine. But at the same time, I can do that in my walk with Christ. Just as we've been talking tonight, I can kind of sit back and just say, okay, I'm just going to take it really easy right now, and I'm not going to do anything. And that's kind of, I want to be careful as I say it, because I don't want you to think over this past year that I just lost everything in Christ, because I kept coming. I knew I needed something. But I started seeing all these detours and all these signs, the flashy things of the world that were drawing me in. And I knew in my mind, I thought, I don't want to go that way. But Lord, you know, I do want to have fun. And then my mind went back to Sister Crow's testimony about people ask, what do you do for fun? If you're serving the Lord and you're giving it your all, He'll provide things for you. He'll provide whatever entertainment you feel you need. He'll provide whatever you need to make it through life. You don't have to give over to the things of this world. And I was just thinking about how these laws, a lot of times, you know, coming to church and even growing up in the body, there's so much about, oh, well, we can't do this and we can't do that and I can't wear short sleeve shirts or I can't wear, and it's not about that. What I learned for myself is if I get Christ inside of me, all the other things will follow. They'll fall away. They'll fall away. If you can get Christ inside you, and I had some scriptures in Galatians that I've just been going over a lot about how it says, you know, by works, what is it? Law, works don't make us perfect. But there is a work to be done. And I was thinking, I can't come to church and I can't just sit on the pew and pass it all by like Brother Fisher was saying. It's not just coming to church for me. It's not just spending a Sunday and a Wednesday here. It is my life. This is what I want to stay dedicated to. I do want to be careful. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to be preach what I will do and then tomorrow it change. You know, I do appreciate the Lord and Him keeping me, because I know at times it wasn't myself. There were things that if I had given over to those things, I could have been lost. There are others who have, and they are lost. And there's a song that says, I've watched people come and go. and I pray they make it home one day. But I'm just thankful that he kept me here. You know, I didn't always have my focus on. I didn't have them on, and it was like I got a scratch on my glasses, and so I took them to the eye doctor, and I needed new lenses. But the whole time, I'm sitting there without glasses, and I can't really see. And thanks to this, that's a while back I got new glasses, and I'm sitting there for like a day and a half with no glasses, and I'm blind, you know. And so my mind kind of reverted to, I don't want to take my glasses off and just get lost in everything. I don't want to get lost in this world. I want to keep my eyes on Christ tonight. I want to take advantage of this opportunity, this privilege to do a work for Christ. It is an honor to work for the Lord. I don't want to make it some, you know, oh man, it's Sunday. Oh, and tonight's youth night. Okay, well, I'm going to let Zach do all the talking tonight. He may be in the restroom. I'm going to make him do all the talking tonight. I'm just going to sit back. I don't want to be like that. I want to have something. I've been praying this entire week. Lord, give us something. Give us just, even if it's just a little bit of God is a whole lot for me. I know that. If I could just have God just a little bit more in my life, that's all I'm asking for. And so I want to keep my focus on him. And as the song said, I must keep on running. I've just got to make it in somehow. I don't want to spend the last, I don't want to waste the last 19 years of my life, and I don't want to waste the next 80 years of my life just sitting, or even not necessarily sitting, but just eventually losing my way. Losing my way. Yes, there are things in the world, and they can be pleasurable for a moment, but that moment will end. It does end. I've seen it millions of times, and we have so many examples, and I want to keep my focus. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is I want to stay dedicated to the Lord. I can't say that in the future I'll always do things right. I know I don't do things right all the time, and I know I mess up and I make mistakes, and sometimes I can get a little grouchy. Sometimes I'm like, you know, leave me alone for a few minutes, let me get myself together. But you know, I don't want to get sidetracked. I don't want to take some exit and lose my life. And it's not about, you know, a lot of times when the subject of hell comes up at school, you know, people are like, well, my mom and dad, you know, they taught me all this. And kind of what Brother Smith was talking about this morning, I don't want it to be a fear thing, but I learned that through Christ I can live. Yet, I'm trying to get the words in my head. You know, I am crucifying this old flesh. I'm dying out to sin, or however the saying goes. I'm giving up those things, but yet I have such a great life. I have so much to be thankful for. I have so much that I can still gain and grow and learn in the Lord. And I'm very thankful tonight. I'm thankful we have these youth services, that we have an opportunity, not just for, you know, the few people to get up and talk and then we play a song and go home, but I'm thankful that we have an opportunity, that there's all these youth. We have several youth. We have a lot of younger youth. I'm very thankful for that. You know, where there's youth, there's life. You know, we visited a church after campground, and they didn't have any youth whatsoever. I mean, there were like two or three, but most of them were even out of town. They went to another church that has a whole lot of youth, you know. And I was thinking, some of those people just, they sat there, and I know, you know, circumstances and whatnot, but some of them sat there, and when they were singing, it was just like, just I'm in bondage, or I'm just, it's not in bondage, but I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, I'm not getting what I need. I want to know that I can get what I need here. And youth, there are things that you can get here that will keep you through life. I look out at Elisha and Nethaniah and Ethan and all the little kids, and I think, if they can just get a hold of it, you know. And that's when they're coming down here and they're praying for the Holy Ghost. Lord, let them get something that will keep them. Something that will keep them, because that's what happened for me. God planted something in my life, and he's kept me. He kept me. Even when I didn't think I wanted to be here, he kept me. And I'm just so thankful for that tonight, that we can come here and we can get our minds renewed. We can get our glasses cleaned off. We can get our eyes set on Christ. I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity tonight.
I know this is youth night, so I won't take very long. My body says I'm young, though. Hallelujah. Or rather, my spirit says I'm young. Boy, I messed that up, didn't I? my body and let me know I'm not as young as I used to be. And I appreciate the words that we've heard tonight. And it's true, this should not be a duty coming to the house of God and serving God. It should be something from the heart. It should be, you know, when you look at the commandments, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind." And the second commandment, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But it shouldn't be a duty. It should be something that is desired to love God. It should be a desire to be in the house of the Lord. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." He was glad to go to the house of God. Amen. He wanted to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. He wanted to feel the presence of the Lord. And you know what? I'm so thankful that I can feel the presence of the Lord. That He's not far off. That He is just as close as we lift up our hearts to Him and lift up our souls unto Him. We can feel the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm glad that I can feel the Lord. And there are times I can get up and I pray and I don't feel like the Lord is anywhere. You know, I just, because I'm feeling. You know, we go by feel. Here recently, a few months ago, I've been having a problem with my, and it seemed like we're talking about focus tonight. And we were coming home one night and I just got so aggravated. I took my glasses off. My wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "It don't matter if I have them on or if I have them off." You know, and I can still see. I'm not blind without my glasses. It's just kind of, I see shadows. You know what I mean? It just like double stuff, you know. And not real bad, but so it wasn't like I was totally going crazy driving at night without my glasses on. But my wife says, "Honey, just go make an eye appointment." You know how it is. You don't want to go to the doctor. And I went to the doctor. And they looked at my eyes, and my right eye, I have a little problem. I got something way in the back end of my retina growing in there. And they've been giving me treatments and putting a needle in my eye. And I asked them, you know, I'm a little leery about that, and needles especially. But in the eye, you know, and... I said, "Well, what if I don't have this done?" You know, because, you know, who wants to have that done, you know? And they said, "Well, if you don't have it done, your eyes are going to get worse." Or that one particular eye, my right eye, is going to get worse. Because I can see around the outside edge, but right in the center, it's a little blurry. And they said, "If you don't have anything done to it, it's going to get worse." And I said, "Well, I guess you've done limited my choices. Other than the Lord touching my eye." And Sister Crow, I let them put a needle in my eye. And it is improving. It's still blurry, but it's improving. But I've learned, you know, I don't like wearing glasses. I hate wearing these things. There for a while I was just reading glasses, but then it got to the point where it was more than just reading glasses, you know. But the Lord wants us to see clearly. Physically, He's made us so we can see clearly, and He's provided some helps that we have eye doctors that we can go to, and they prescribe a little stronger strength, you know, if we need that to get to see a little clearer. But the Lord wants us to see spiritually. And what we've been talking about tonight is powerful. About being spiritually minded. Not being carnal. To have a desire to please God. I think about Enoch. I think about his testimony. Could I have that kind of testimony that I would please God? You know, the Bible does say to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. And I want my Lord to be pleased with me. And I need His direction, and I need His strength, because you know what? I can't make it on my own strength. I can try, but I'll fall. And I need His strength. Because without the Lord, I'm weak just like any other man. I'm powerless. But through God, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. By my God, I can be more than a conqueror. By my God, I can do what He can allow me to do. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And without His strength, I can't do one thing. I can't do one thing without the touch of God in my life. I can try to do it in my own strength, but I realize that, you know what? I can't do it on my own strength. And Paul realized that God's strength was made perfect in him when he was weak. When he got weak. Because the Lord told Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen. Because we know what? When we're weak, we realize we cannot do it by ourselves and we need the help of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we got to look under the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help does come from the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That song about that mountain, I like that song. That was powerful. That was good singing too. And we do go through mountain climbing. We do go trying to ascend a little bit higher. And we should all. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Right? Amen. There's some things in the Bible that tells us what it takes to get into the house of the Lord. To ascend into the house of the Lord. House of the Lord was in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was on a hill. You had to climb up that hill to worship God. Amen. We talked about a man this morning that digressed from Jerusalem. And he fell among thieves. Because he left the place of worship. If you stay in the place of worship, you know what? Thieves, they're going to try to get you, but you know what? You're going to be protected. That man was all by himself when he left the place of worship. And he got fell among thieves. Stripped him of his raiment. Wounding him, left him half dead. But you know what? I want to stay in the house of God and have my raiment. Amen. And be able to climb up a little bit higher in God. Because you know what? That's what God wants us to do. Climb a little bit higher in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I want to be able to see. You know, we work around some people sometimes. They don't have a vision like we do. They don't have a vision like we do. They can't see like we see. Amen. And the Lord's allowed me to see some things in the body of Christ that I never would have seen out there where I was. Because, you know what, I had my spiritual blinders on and all I saw was what I'd been taught. And I wasn't receptive to anything else. But you know what, since I've been around the body of Christ, I've had my eyes trying to get them a little bit more focused. And I've been trying to get my ears to hear a little bit better. And I've been trying to get my heart a little bit softer. I've been trying to let the Lord talk to me. And He's not through. He's still working. Hallelujah. I'm a work in progress. I told the church the other day, I seen some eyeballs raise up.
I said, you know what? I don't have all the truth. I'm thinking, well, what am I coming to this church for if you don't have all the truth? I'm still seeking for more truth. I'm still desiring more truth. Hallelujah. And one day I'm going to know all the truth. Amen. But I'm striving, and I'm listening, and I'm wanting to get my eyes focused so that I can plainly see what God wants me to see. And the only way I'm going to be able to see really like God wants me to see is to keep getting a touch of the Holy Ghost. And when I keep getting a touch of the Holy Ghost, God's going to allow me to see things that I've never seen before. But I've got to get more and more in His presence. I've got to get more and more out of this flesh. I've got to get more and more in the Spirit. Amen. I want to be like John. Amen. The Revelator. Amen. That was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Because when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the Lord started revealing things to him. Hallelujah. And that's the way I want to be. I want God's Spirit to be so overwhelming on me that I can see what he wants me to see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I want to see what he wants me to see. I want to be a part of this. This vision. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want it to be a part of me. Thank God. That youth meeting was wonderful here the other day. It was wonderful. The presence of the Lord was so strong in here. Brother Weinert just broke me just to see the young people that were responding to the Lord and the Holy Ghost falling on them and God touching people, and it was hot in here. Boy, it was hot in here. But you know what? The Holy Ghost fire was in here too. Hallelujah. And it was doing a work in this place, and people were getting closer to God, and people were feeling after God, and people were getting the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about, getting closer to God. Hallelujah. Not just young people need this, and young people do need it. Amen. But older folks need it too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be spiritually minded. Hallelujah. They've got a saying that, you know, you don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I guess you can take it for what it's worth. Earthly good. That's a paradox, ain't it? Earthly good. First Adam was of this earth, earthly. The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that second Adam, because he made a way for the tree of life, for we to have access into that tree of life. Hallelujah. Through the first Adam, we all die. But through that second Adam, we can live. Hallelujah. Thank God for that second Adam. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just so glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And if you can, Sister Cole's, get on the piano. We're just going to sing an old song. Sister Cole's asked me a while ago, she said, sometimes when she asked me, what are you thinking about, I say nothing, because that's true, I'm not thinking about anything, but she could tell I was extra quiet, and there was a song kept running through my mind, and I told her, I said, Lord, I'm just singing this song running through my mind, and hallelujah, let me see, praise God, I got to figure out what key it's in. Praise God. It's in 3 flat, Sister Coles.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, he leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Well, I need thee. every hour. I need them every hour. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light, be mine that I may see the blessed way. Oh, keep me that I may be holy, thine and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, Jesus, hold my hand. Hallelujah. Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, yes. When I need, Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Hear it, Lord. Oh, Lord.
said, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Hold it, Lord. Well, I need you. Lord, I need you every hour, every minute. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus.
God, glory to God.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. This is the first time I've been here in 2 weeks. And so, you know, Job said, the thing I feared came upon me. So if you've ever had a serious bout of depression, you have a fear it'll come back. So a week ago Wednesday, a cloud of depression came on me. It lasted for 4 days. So it lifted a week ago last night about 6 in the afternoon. I thought, well, I'll come to church Sunday. So Sunday morning, for the first time in about four weeks, I had one of those mornings where I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. So last week I was too sleepy to come last Sunday, and I thought, well, I'll come Wednesday. So same thing happened Wednesday morning. I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. I needed a haircut, but I was so sleepy I didn't even feel like going to get a haircut. So I didn't come Wednesday night, but it's good to be here. And, you know, after hearing Brother Smith today, I thought, well, I think sometimes nobody has road rage like me, but, you know, I think, what's in me that makes me this way? Of course, Brother Smith said it's that nature we inherited, but I wish I wasn't that way. But I was going back home last Sunday, 2 weeks ago tonight, and I go the old Mayflower Highway because it's more relaxing. There's not much traffic. So I was on the other side of Mayflower going to Conway, and the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. So this guy, he kept this the other side of Mayflower. Once in a while, he'd get right up on me like he was trying to intimidate me. So when I got to the Conway city limits, I had to slow down to 45. And so he kept right on my bumper, and I thought, well, if you're going to be disrespectful, I can be that way too. And I slowed down to 25 instead of 45. And of course, he didn't like that. So he passed me, and I told my neighbor about it. He said, you're going to get yourself killed. You're going to run into somebody like that with a gun, and somebody's going to kill you. But you never know, you know, what people will do. But anyway, I listened to the radio. There's a man, he's from Central Arkansas. He's Mark Jackson. He has a program on Monday through Friday on radio from 1 till 2. And so I listened to him. So his program is based on the economy, talking about the economy and politics. And, oh, he's a strong Republican. And he's always bad-mouthing Obama. But he said a while back, he said something about George Bush was a Christian. So this guy called in last Friday, and he said, I beg to differ with you. Said George Bush is not a Christian. He's for abortion and all this stuff. And of course, this man that was in charge of the show, he didn't like him criticizing George Bush. But you know, George Bush is not a Christian, because the Bible says, well, this moderator of the program, he said, well, George Bush professes faith in God. But you know, this guy that hosts this show, he's a Baptist, because I've heard him say he teaches Sunday school at Gravel Ridge. And so he just said, well, he professes faith in God, but of course we know there's more to it than that, because the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And I believe with all my soul that George Bush lied, him and Dick Cheney, to get us into that war in Iraq that when Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with that 9/11. So I believe George Bush is a liar, and I don't believe he cares, loses a night's sleep over those boys that died over there. And two or three years ago, Barack Obama, he said, well, I've accepted Jesus as Savior. Well, this guy's such a strong Republican, I'm going to call him one of these days, I'm going to say, well, if you think George Bush is a Christian, then Barack Obama's a Christian, because he professes faith in Christ. But I don't really believe that Barack Obama's a Christian, but looks like we're going to get four more years of him, because he's leading in the polls. And this man on the radio the other day said he's already got 247 electoral votes in the bag, and it only takes 270. So I don't think Romney would be any better, but I really feel like Barack Obama has really deceived the people. But he didn't keep his promises like he said he would. And so I got some neighbors that are Church of Christ, and so a couple of weeks ago I had noticed in the paper that they were going to have a six-day meeting, and it said in this article, the paper said, the Lord's Church. And you know, that's blasphemy to say you're the Lord's Church if you're not, because in Revelation it said the beast had names full of blasphemy, and we know what those names are. So to me, you know, that's blasphemy. But you know, I feel for people. I've got a neighbor, I've known him for years, he's a year younger than me, and he grew up in the Church of Christ, you know, it's what he was raised in, and he's never, you know, it's sad that somebody gets born into that, or either later on joins up with something like that and never sees any more than what they see. And it's sad to think that somebody never gets delivered, because God delivered me from the Baptist church. But this man I listen to on the radio, he doesn't talk religion, but he's a Baptist. And one day he was talking about, he was just mentioning how people reason that, he brought this up. He said, I have nothing against the Church of Christ, but he said, they don't believe in music. And he said, because the New Testament doesn't have much to say about music, but he said, the New Testament doesn't say anything about air conditioning, but they use air conditioning, and doesn't say anything about audio equipment, and they use audio equipment. But I'm thankful, you know, that the Lord, Sister Case, Frieda Case, she used to say, God brought me up in stair steps. I think she came from the Baptist, the Assembly of God, and then to the body, and that's what God did for me. He brought me out of the Baptist church to the UPC, and then a non-denominational church, a Pentecostal church at Conway, and then he brought me to the body. So once you get to the body, you're as high as you can go. There's no way for God to, there's no place for God to lift you any higher. So anyway, I'm thankful I'm still here. There's been a couple of times in the last 8 years I just thought, well, I'm going to throw in the towel, because about 8 years ago, things kind of went downhill for me. One day I was at work, and I had a dizzy feeling like I had never felt in my life. And so I called my sister, and I said, get me an appointment the doctor the next day. Well, the appointment was for the afternoon, and I was so dizzy I didn't even go to work that day. So the doctor diagnosed me with vertigo, and so I mean, it was a dizziness like I've never felt. So I continued to have dizziness from time to time. But anyway, after this dizzy spell, it seemed like my thinking wasn't as clear. I remember remember coming to church the next Sunday, and people like Brother Daniels I'd known for years, I'd start to think of their name, and I'd have trouble thinking of their name, and I got to wonder what has happened to me. And I began to have feelings, bouts of depression, and so anyway, it just went on and on. So last year at this time, I was having, thank goodness I'm not having depression very often now, but I was having fatigue very often, which I don't have now very often, but it would just been such a burden, you know, that I thought, you know, if I could just have somebody to talk to. So I made an appointment with a psychiatrist, and so it's been good. Of course, I think she told me I need to come back about 5 or 6 times, and that's been 11 months ago. No, that's been 9 months ago. And I told her, I said, isn't it about time for this counseling to end? I've had enough of this. And she said, well, I think she's trying to drag it out, get as much money as she can. But anyway, since I talked to the psychiatrist, and sometimes it just feels good to have somebody to talk to, and so I'm doing much better, and I really was looking forward to coming today since I hadn't been here in 2 weeks, and I got in on Brother Smith's sermon, and it really was good, but sure has been a blessing to be here tonight, and I hope I don't experience missing church anytime soon because of depression or losing sleep.
Ever since you're 7, I've got some horror stories. I mean, since I was 8, I got some horror stories I can tell. But speaking of 7, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 7 and got my glasses at 8. So I'm thankful that I'm still somewhat young. And I got a little bit of a vision compared to God's vision, because He's got all the vision. But, you know, there's times that when you get as young as I am, you might need your bifocals. And then when you get as young as my father, you need his trifocals. But I'm thankful that we got the vision we got in this church. And I remember one time, I'm somewhat still on the subject, I was in Table Rock Lake in Branson, Missouri. Most of us in this church would know where that's at. And I found some rocks in that lake, and they were shaped in certain shapes. One looked like an eyeball. One looked like an ear. One of those rocks looked like a nose. One of my rocks looked like a mouth. Unfortunately, I couldn't find nothing that looked like a hand, but that had been perfect for a feeling. Just think, that's in this church, we've heard the talk about vision and get all of our 5 senses, just not vision alone, our 5 senses of apostles. Got to cheat. Sorry, guys, got to cheat. Even though I've been in the body all my life, I still got to cheat sometimes. Apostles, prophets, teachers, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The evangelist is that little finger. Just that little finger. And do you know what? Every one of them has something else in common. And this is something Brother Smith has mentioned. When I put my contact in, I'm using my prophet, because I got to use my index finger to put my contact in. Now, if that contact falls out and falls in the drain, don't you hate it when you have half your vision?
And you got to look around and you think, oh, Lord, where's that thing at? And then you got one contact for reading and one contact for seeing distance. You think, okay, I got my reading contact in. I can't even see the other one. So it's just hard to see, you know. So vision, oh, he's up my alley. I mean, just right up my alley. And then, with the apostle, you got that feeling. And don't you love it when Brother Smith brings in the Spirit and you feel something? I mean, you feel it. I mean, down to the bones. Because, you know, it's just, I mean, I hate to say it, I couldn't have been nothing but a Pentecostal. Because if I went to certain B churches or certain L churches or certain M churches and, you know, sit there, I gotta have some life in me. I gotta feel something. So I'm thankful I'm in what I'm in. And then we got the teachers. We got teachers that hear the word. They hear. We got the pastors. And I had an awesome pastor. And I still got an awesome pastor. But he tastes things for us. When I was, you know, when before we hear things, he tastes them for us. And then he's got that pastoral work and he tastes things for us. And then evangelist. If there's any, I think more of them help our government, you know, if I was ever part of the ministry. But those evangelists, they smell something coming on. They smell the Spirit of the Lord coming. So I'm just thankful. I put my 2 cents in, and I'm right, you know, I'm just on that hill, right at the top of the hill since I'm 50, and it don't look good over that hill, but, you know, luckily, you more experienced folk helped me over that hump so I can be ready for it when I am. And I'm thankful I'm here.
Praise God.
Well, I just want to stand tonight and say how thankful I am to be here. And I'm not even close to being up the hill yet, you know, I'm just starting out. But, you know, I was thinking about what some of the people have said and, you know, about how the, you know, there's detours in life and, you know, all the distraction, everything, as Brandon said. And earlier today, while the service was going, I was flipping through my Bible and I was thinking about how that whenever, you know, somebody that comes in off the streets or somebody's trying to get back to God or trying to find their way, once God, you know, saves them and they get in and, you know, they start doing good, and how that, you know, the Bible says how that we are to be, you know, the city set on a hill to be a light for everybody that's to see us. And I was thinking, you know, that there's some people out in the world, or, you know, that they don't know God. You know, they haven't had the chances we've had. They haven't been able to experience the, you know, the wonders of God and, you know, his touch and everything that we have here in the body. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that, you know, it's my duty as a Christian and as somebody in the body to, you know, try to be a witness to that person and to try and bring him to God and do what I can to help him. And, you know, it's not just enough to be in church and, you know, to raise my hands and clap and, you know, everything like that, but I need to go out and try and get more saints, more people to you know, come to our church and just be a witness and always be on the, you know, always be on the lookout for people that may need some more of God or something. Just something I can do to help them so that, you know, whenever they're driving in their car, whenever they're in their daily life, they'll be like, hey, you know what? I remember that kid, and he gave me this card, you know, with this address, and maybe I can go there and try it out, and if they do, great. If they don't, well, you know what? I did my part. You know, I just, I want to do what I can to witness to people. And, you know, just, I'm just happy to be here.
Here tonight, everybody's talking about your vision. Past couple months, I've been having to go back to the doctor to get my eyes checked because I haven't worn my glasses for 3 years, and it's one of those things you don't want to spend the money on or spend the time to go to the doctor. And my vision's not that bad, where I can't, you know, make out your face or anything. But I was just thinking, you can. When I went to the eye doctor, because I've went without glasses for so long, my eyes have been trying to overcorrect themselves, which in return it's made it worse. So I've had to wear contacts where I can't really see, just to calm my eyes so they're not stressing the whole time, just to figure out what my prescription actually is. And right now I have to wear bifocal contacts because I can't see close or far away or anything. But that's supposed to help where I can finally be able to see close, and because I'm nearsighted. I mean, I can see up close, but since my eyes have been trying to correct themselves, it's just screwed up everything where I can't see at all. But I was just thinking, you go so long where you think you see these problems in your life, and you try to correct them, and you try to get it out of your life, but if you don't actually get to the source of the problem, you'll just keep going blind, so to speak. And going back to the eye doctor, they had to turn on the lights so my eyes, you know, won't keep going back and forth. And you got to get to that place where you let God take control of your situations and Him show you the light and correct your vision of where you're wanting to go. And I was also thinking, we often make God a priority instead of the priority in our lives, and we get so distracted. Well, you know, I work and I do this, and I'm with this program in school or work, and you know, I'll fit God in later Wednesday night, you know. And coming to that realization, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I've put this in front of Him and this in front of Him, and I thought I was, you know, making Him a priority, but I wasn't making Him the priority. And that's what gets us lost so many times when we go through situations and we get depressed and you know, trials come our way. We end up turning, you know, oh Lord, take care of it, and we'll go with our hobbies and go face something else, are those distractions. And instead of just right then realizing, you know, what the situation is and let God take control of your life. I had some things written down. I get up and forget it all. But I'm just thankful that the Lord is, you know, dealing with me and opening my eyes and letting me see the light and let me get a vision for myself, and just getting an all-around peace in my life, and letting Him use me. And I can think of it. But we won't ever feel, I mean, we go through so many things in our life, and being around certain people, we want to, you know, fit in and, you know, have an acceptance with everyone. And if we don't let God lead us where we actually need to go, we'll never get that satisfaction and fulfillment where God wants to take us through our lives. So I want to let God take me through things and get me to where I need to be and lean on Him. Talk to. Stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountains, and the mountain stands by me. Though all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide? Till the storms have all passed over, where do I run to? When the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? In the time of tribulation, when my soul needs a consolation, I go to the rock. I go to of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountains, and the mountain stands by me. Though all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected, run to talk to. Oh, when no one wants to listen, who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock I know that's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountains, and the mountains stand by me. When the earth all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the
the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountains and the mountains stand by me. When all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide till the storms have all passed over? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? When my soul needs a consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. The earth all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I go turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know that's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When all around me sinking sand, Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected.
Tonight, a lot of good things were said and a good feeling here, and I really do appreciate friendship of Brother and Sister Coles and their family and the strength and support they've lent to this assembly over the years. We really do honor them when they come here, and we appreciate their fellowship. Thank you for coming. You two, it was Brother Aaron, wasn't it? Yes, we appreciate you being here too, and we just appreciate everybody. And I wanted to make a little announcement. There's a new saint in the Republic Church. Did y'all know about that?
No, huh? Lord, yes.
Little Emily Hope Durham 8 pounds, 2 ounces. That's where Mama is tonight. And Brother Phil, they don't write books for grandpas either. They do? I haven't needed one so far. I'm just making it up as I go. Just making it up as I go. I went and I can't. You got a grandpa book, Elisha? He's got a book. I may need to talk to him. There's a book. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm enjoying it. Wednesday, Brother Smith wants to start, at least as far as I know he does, getting here early to pray, 15 till 7? So some of y'all get here and slip in and pray, and those that can't get here at 15 till, just come when you can and have a reverence when you come into the church, and let's just see if we can't pull on heaven and bring it down, Sister Crow. Yeah. All right. Haven't you appreciated tonight? Let's just thank God for this wonderful service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for your mercy.